This morning we spoke about the morals, manners and characteristics that a da'iyah, a caller to Allah, should possess. And these were from the sayings of the great imam of our times, rahimahullah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mercy be upon him, Shaykh Abdul Aziz bin Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala. And he gave some real good direction and admonitions to the da'iyahs, to the callers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the manners and morals and manners and characteristics that a da'iyah should possess. We discussed some of those according to the Shaykh's, of course, discussion. And the first one he mentioned, rahimahullah, was sincerity. I will go over quickly over the things we discussed. That the sincerity, the purity of intention, the da'iyah caller must be sincere towards Allah. He must not love to be seen and have vanity in his actions, riya, or to perform an action whereby he desires others to take or talk about it and praise him for it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Say, O Muhammad, this is my way. I invite unto Allah. I don't invite for myself. I invite unto Allah. This is chapter 12 in Surah Yusuf, verse 108. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Fussilat, chapter 41, verse 33, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. And who is better in speech than he who calls men to Allah. Calls men to Allah. He doesn't call them for his fame or for his for himself. He calls for Allah, and therefore, the Shaykh rahimahullah added, it is necessary that sincerity is towards Allah and not to madhahib, nor to the opinion of the person or that person, this person or that person. He must call to Allah seeking his reward and his forgiveness and seeking the betterment of the people. Therefore, it's necessary that he is sincere and knowledgeable. The second condition is knowledge, that the da'iyah, the caller to Allah, should have the dalil against that. The dalil for that, the last dalil, the evidence is, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. And who is better in speech than he calls men to Allah. This is chapter 41, verse 33. Knowledge, meaning the da'iyah should give da'wah based upon knowledge, with clarity and not upon ignorance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, tells وَإِيَّاكُمْ, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells the Prophet rather in the Quran, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرًا. Say, this is my way, and invite unto Allah with sure knowledge. With sure knowledge. This is in Surah Yusuf 12 verse 108, and this will be a repetitive evidence, so please watch for that. Okay, so only call, the Shaykh rahimahullah said, only call to something after you have gained knowledge of it and a deep understanding, basira, about what Allah and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam have said concerning it. The third condition, so let's put them now in order, inshallah. Sincerity. Second, knowledge. And third, kindness and understanding. Kindness and understanding. He, rahimahullah, stressed that, na'am, jazakallah khair. Among the morals that the da'iyah, the caller to Allah, must possess is that they should be gentle, mild, forbearing, and patient in the da'wah, just as the prophets were. So the third condition is kindness and understanding, like the prophets, forbearing, patient, gentle, and mild. Beware, he said, rahimahullah, of being hasty. Alaykum as-salam, rahmatullahi ta'ala, barakatuh, Sister Maryam. Beware of being hasty, violent, and harsh. And you must have patience, understanding, and be gentle in your da'wah. Evidence for these qualities have already preceded, like in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ادعو إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن. Invite to the way of your Lord with wisdom and fair preaching, and argue with them in a way that is better. This is Surah An-Nahl, chapter 16, 125. And in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَبِمَ رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. And by the mercy of Allah, you dealt with them gently. You dealt with them gently. This is Surah Al-Imran, chapter 3, verse 159. فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Musa and Harun, Moses and Aaron to Fir'aun, فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَى. And speak to him mildly, perhaps he may accept admonition or fear Allah. This is in Surah Taha, which is Quran 20:44. It has been reported in Sahih Muslim that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Allah, whoever acquires some kind of control over the affairs of my ummah and is hard upon them, so be hard upon him. And whoever acquires some kind of control over the affairs of my ummah and is kind to them, so be kind to him. This is in Sahih Muslim. In Sahih Muslim, abbreviated SM meaning Sahih Muslim. SM meaning Sahih Muslim. And number 4494 in the English translation. It is necessary, therefore, that the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be gentle in his da'wah. He said, don't make things difficult for the people, nor cause them to flee from the religion because of your harshness, ignorance, and violent, offensive, and harmful manners. You must be gentle, patient, and soft, and good in speech, so that you affect the heart of your brother and the heart of the one you are calling to, so that he likes to listen to your da'wah and he softens to it, is affected by it, and he praises and thanks you for it. As evidence, as for violence rather, the Shaykh rahimahullah said, this leads to repulsion rather than drawing people close to Islam, and it causes division rather than unity. Therefore, gentleness is necessary when giving da'wah. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whenever gentleness is in something, it does nothing but beautify it. And when it is removed from something, it does nothing but disfigure it. Again in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, the one who is deprived of gentleness, he is deprived of all good. So the Muslim must be gentle when giving da'wah, the Shaykh rahimahullah added, and he must have a good manner in order to get a good response from the people rather than retaliation or rejection. When should the da'ya resort to harshness? The Shaykh rahimahullah asked. When should the da'ya, the caller to Allah, resort to harshness? He answered, we have seen that the da'ya with harshness and force does much harm. What is necessary and more befitting for the da'ya is to undertake da'wah by the means that Allah has clarified in Surah An-Nahl, ud'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmah, invite to the way of your Lord with wisdom. However, if the one you are calling is stubborn and oppressive, then nothing prevents you from speaking sternly to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يا أيها النبي جاهد الكفار والمنافقين واغلظ عليهم. O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, strive hard against the disbelievers and the hypocrites and be severe against them. This is in Surah At-Tahrim, which is Surah 66, verse 9. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تُجَادِلُوا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْهُمْ. And argue not with the people of the scripture, meaning the Jews and the Christians, unless it be in a way that is better. وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَبَرَكَاتُهُ. Waiting. And argue not with the people of the scripture, meaning Jews and the Christians, unless it be in a way that is better, except with such of them as do wrong. Except with such of them as do wrong. This is Surah Al-Ankabut, chapter 29, verse 46. The Shaykh Rahimahullah said, the verses and ahadith and traditions that have preceded teach us that the complete Islamic Sharia has told us when to use softness and when to use harshness. So he said, the verses and the ahadith that have preceded teach us that the complete Islamic Sharia has told us when to use softness and when to use harshness. So the approach of the da'iyah must be characterized with softness, gentleness, and patience. This makes his da'wah more beneficial, influential, and effective. This is what Allah has ordered and guided His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to do, as well as to have sure knowledge and basira. Basira meaning deep understanding about what He is calling to and what He is forbidding. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُو إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ. Say, this is my way, I invite unto Allah with pure knowledge. There is no need for the da'iyah to resort to being harsh or severe, except when it is absolutely necessary and when he does not accomplish his aim by the first method, meaning of using gentleness. Therefore, the da'iyah acts justly in accordance to the situation, and he employs the guidance of Sharia in both instances. So, it is required from those who call to Allah the Most High and those who give advice to His servants to choose the beneficial methods and words which don't contain violence or deter people from the truth. Through this, the da'iyah, the caller to Allah, hopes that it will make the one who opposes the truth to accept it and be pleased with it, preferring the truth and leaving the falsehood which he was upon. He should not, in his da'wah, use methods which deter people from the truth, causing them to turn away from it and reject it. Number 4, taking care to adhere to the Quran and Sunnah. Take great care to adhere to the noble Quran through reciting it, reflecting upon it, and acting upon it by following the pure Sunnah, and as the Sunnah is the second source of Islam, and it explains the Quran. Allah the Most High says in the Quran, بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالزُّبُرْ وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. And we have also sent down unto you, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the reminder and the advice, the Quran, that you may explain clearly to men what is sent down to them, and that they may give thought. وَمَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا لِتُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ الَّذِي اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ وَهُدًا وَرَحْمَةً لِقَوْمٍ يُؤْمِنُونَ. And we have not sent down the Quran to you, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except that you may explain clearly unto them those things in which they differ, and as a guidance and mercy for folk who believe. This is in Surah An-Nahl, chapter 16, verse 64. Real knowledge is what Allah has said in the Quran and what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said in the authentic Sunnah. Therefore, one should devote all his attention to the Quran and the pure Sunnah in order to know what Allah the Most High has ordered and what He has forbidden, so that he learns the methodology of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in giving da'wah and forbidding the evil, as well as knowing the methodology of his companions. Therefore, it's only proper for those with knowledge, the da'is, the callers, the teachers, and the students, all to devote their attention to the Quran, so that they can be firmly established upon it, so that it forms for them a character and methodology which they traverse upon whatever they are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Shaykh rahimahullah, continued, إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمْ. Verily, this Quran guides to that which is most just and right. Allah is the one who guides to the way that is most just and upright. Is there a greater aim for the believer than to be on his most just and upright way? So So it is necessary for all the people of knowledge and students to take care in adhering to what Allah says and draw close to the Quran through reading, reflecting, understanding and working in accordance with it. Allah the Most High says in the Quran, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَتْدَبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. This is a book which we have sent down to you, full of blessings, that they may ponder over its blessings and that men of understanding may remember. The men of understanding are those who Allah has bestowed with sound intellect, which enable them to distinguish between truth and falsehood, and between guidance and misguidance. Whoever wants to acquire this great quality must devote himself to the Quran by reciting it, reflecting on it, understanding it, and studying it with his colleagues. He must also question the people of knowledge about that which is difficult for him to understand, and he should make use of the reliable books of tafsir, as well as adhere to the prophetic sunnah, because it explains the Quran and directs to it. The da'iyah does this so that he can be firmly established on the straight path, and is from amongst the people of the Book of Allah, the Most High, reading, pondering, and acting upon it. The fifth condition, he said, rahimahullah, using wisdom when giving da'wah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, ادعو إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن. Invite to the way of your Lord with wisdom and fair preaching, and argue with them in a way that is better. Even though this is a glorious command, with the Prophet ﷺ was commanded to carry out, it is in fact an order which the whole Ummah must also carry out. Even if it is only addressing the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he is our guide and role model, then it is a basic principle which is directed towards the whole of the Ummah. This is because the Sharia states that the Ummah of the Prophet ﷺ must follow him in what he has ordered and what he has forbidden, except when there is a clear evidence that something was specifically ordained for the Prophet ﷺ. So therefore the da'iyah is a religious duty. Therefore da'wah rather is a religious duty and obligation upon everyone. Allah the Most High says in the Quran, لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا. Indeed, in the Messenger of Allah, you have a good example to follow for him who hopes in Allah and the last day and remembers Allah much. This is in Surah Al-Ahzab, which is chapter 33, verse 21. Therefore, the Muslims should imitate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in giving da'wah, directing towards it and guiding the servants of Allah to the causes of salvation and warning them against the causes of destruction. This great verse explains the manner in which the da'wah should be taken and the procedure which the da'iyah must adopt and what he should be upon. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ادعو إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة, invite to the way of your Lord with wisdom, some scholars of tafsir explain that these verses mean that one should give da'wah by using the verses of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because of the wisdom that they contain. And this is really very important. Many people really overlook this matter. What the Shaykh rahimahullah is saying is that yes, 33:21. Some scholars of tafsir explain that these verses mean that one should give da'wah by using the verses of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ because of the wisdom that they contain and to the laws, prohibitions, explanations and wise words which takes one away from falsehood and directs one towards good. Within it is the guidance and direction of the people towards that which holds happiness. A part of wisdom is to clarify the meaning and explanation in effective ways. He does this in the language of the one whom he is calling so he can understand. The da'iyah continues in this way until the one whom he is calling has no doubt in his mind, and the truth which may have been hidden from him, either due to lack of explanation or lack of persuasive da'wah in his own language, or because of unclarity in some of the proofs, or an apparent contradiction of evidences, now becomes apparent to him. Therefore, if there is a need for religious admonition, then the da'iyah should preach and mention the suitable verses and ahadith which concentrate on targhib and tarheeb. Targhib and tarheeb. Targhib, giving glad tidings. Tarheeb, meaning giving warnings. The heart of the one who is being called will then awaken and be attracted to the truth. So the da'iyah may need to use religious admonition, targhib and tarheeb, according to the situation of the one whom he is calling to Islam. Perhaps he is ready to accept the truth with the least amount of admonition, because wisdom is sufficient for him. On the other hand, he may be somewhat hesitant and reluctant. In this case, he needs religious admonition and to be directed towards the remembrance of the verses which concentrate on tarheeb, on giving warnings. The sixth condition, one must be a good example. Among the characteristics and morals which the da'iyah must possess is acting upon his own da'wah, and he must be a good example of what he is calling to. He shouldn't be someone who calls to something and then leaves that thing himself. Nor should he be someone who forbids an action and then does that action himself. This is the condition of the losers, and we seek refuge with Allah from this. As for the successful believers, they call to the truth, act upon it, eagerly seek it, and hasten towards it. They also keep away from those things that they themselves forbid. Allah the Most High says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. In the verse of Surah As-Saff, which is chapter 61, verses 2 and 3, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the translation of the meaning, O you who believe, why do you say that which you don't do? Most hateful it is with Allah that you say that which you don't do. We seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from this state. And also, in Surah Fussilat, chapter 41, verse 33, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِّمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And who is better in speech than he who invites men to Allah, the Most High, and does righteous deeds, and says, I am one of the Muslims. This magnificent verse clarifies to us that the da'iyah, the caller to Allah, must be one that acts righteously, calling to Allah the Most High with his tongue as well as with his actions, as it is specified in the Quran. وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. Look at this. And he, the one who does righteous deeds. So the da'iyah must call the people with his tongue and with his actions. And there is no one better in speech than these type of people. They are those who call and direct the people to Allah. Yes. Through their pure speech, actions, and whole conduct, which make them become righteous examples. Similarly, the Prophets alayhi salatu wasalam gave da'wah through their speech as well as their actions, and indeed through their whole way of life. Thus many of those who were being called benefited more from their conduct than from what they actually said. Especially the general people and those deficient in knowledge. So these people derived benefit from this virtuous lifestyle and their behavior and their actions to a great extent than from mere speech which they may not necessarily have understood. So truly the most important task for the da'iyah is that he must have a righteous lifestyle. He must be righteous in his actions and possess a righteous character so that he can be emulated in his words and actions. The seventh condition to apply what he or she says. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا. Who is better in speech? مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. Than he who invites people to Allah and does righteous deeds. وَعَمِلَ الصَّالِحَ. This noble verse explains that the callers to Allah are the best people in speech if they implement their speech by righteous actions. And adhere to Islam upon iman, upon belief, with love and joy at this great blessing. As a result, the people are influenced by their da'wah, benefit from it, and so they love the da'iyas because of their da'wah. This is contrary to those callers who call to that which they do not do themselves. They do not receive any of this beautiful and sweet praise, and nor does their da'wah influence or affect the community. Indeed, their only result in this da'wah is hate and disgust from Allah, insults from the people turning away from their da'wah and warning others against it. Allah the Most High says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. O you who believe, why do you say that which you don't do? Most hateful it is with Allah that you say that which you don't do. Surah As-Saff 61:23. And He subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when rebuking the Jews, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Enjoin you piety and righteousness and each and every act of obedience to Allah the Most High on the people, and you forget to practice it yourselves while you recite the scriptures. Have you then no sense? Have you no sense? This is in Surah Al-Baqarah, when Allah spoke about the qualities of the Jews. This was one of them. So Allah shows in this verse that the contradiction of the da'i's action to what he preaches is illogical, as well as being opposed to the Sharia. So how can anyone who possesses any religion and understanding be pleased with this? It has been authentically narrated from the Prophet ﷺ that he said, a man will be brought on the Day of Judgment and thrown into the hellfire, and his intestines will pour forth in the hell, and he will go around them like a donkey goes around a millstone. Then the people of the hellfire will gather around him, and they will say to him, didn't you use to enjoin the good and forbid the evil? And he will say, yes indeed, I used to enjoin the good, but I never practiced it myself. And I used to forbid the evil, and I used to practice it myself. This is an agreed upon hadith. This is the state of the one who calls to Allah the Most High, orders the good and forbids the evil, and his actions contradict his words, and his words contradict his actions. We seek refuge with Allah the Most High from that. Amongst the most important and greatest characteristics with respect to the da'iyah, the caller to Allah, is acting upon that which he calls to and desisting from what he forbids. He should have a righteous character, a praiseworthy lifestyle, as well as being patient, persevering, and sincere. The eighth condition, taqwa, fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh rahimahullah said, O servant of Allah, you are in serious need to have taqwa of your Lord. You should be firmly established upon it even in the presence of ordeals, or when you are afflicted with harm and mockery from the enemies of Allah, the sinful and evil doers. Do not let this worry you. Rahimahullah. Do not let this worry you. Remember the messengers alayhim salatu wassalam and the ones who followed them in righteousness. They too endured many hardships and were mocked at and ridiculed by the enemies of Allah, but they were patient, and their outcome in this world and the hereafter was praiseworthy. Ninth condition, being active and pleased in giving da'wah. The believing da'iyah who is strong in faith has a deep understanding about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered. He declares the right of Allah, and he is active in giving da'wah. he acts upon that which he calls to, and he is careful to stay away from that which he forbids. He is the quickest towards that which he calls to, and the furthest removed from that which he forbids. He clearly states that he is a Muslim, and that he invites to Islam, and he rejoices and is delighted with that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. In the bounty of Allah and in His mercy therein, let them rejoice. That is better than what wealth they amass. This is in Surah Yunus, which is chapter 10, verse 58. So rejoicing in the mercy of Allah the Most High is something which is called or is allowed in Islam. And of course what's meant here is rejoicing in sincerity, not rejoicing in any kind of arrogance. Now the tenth condition, supplicating for guidance of those whom you are calling. From among the righteous characteristics that a da'iyah should possess, is that he should supplicate to Allah to guide those whom he is calling and say to them, may Allah the Most High guide you and make you successful in accepting the truth. May Allah assist you with guidance. When it was said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the people of Daws had disobeyed, he said, O Allah, give guidance to the people of Daws and let them embrace Islam. This is an agreed upon hadith. So supplicate for the one you are giving da'wah to be guided and to succeed in accepting the truth, and be patient and persevere in that, and do not despair and become disheartened. Speak only that which is good, and do not be violent or speak badly by using foul or evil language, and thereby causing the people to avert from the truth. 11. Do not feel embarrassed or shy to give da'wah. The da'iyah should call the people to the truth and act upon it himself, as well as forbidding the falsehood and warning people to stay away from that, and he himself abstains from it, and he should not be embarrassed to declare his beliefs. Rather, he should say, indeed, I am a Muslim, satisfied and delighted with what Allah the Most High has blessed me with. He shouldn't be like the one who is ashamed and hates to mention that he is a Muslim or that he is inviting people to Islam for the sake of honoring or flattering someone. And there is no movement nor power, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله, and there is no movement nor power except with Allah the Most High. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. The 12th condition, following the truth. You must accept the truth and follow it when the proof is clear, even if it means that it is contrary to a certain person's view. Alaykum as-salam, rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh, Argus. You must not blindly follow anyone, rather you should know about the excellence, virtues and values of all the imams. Allahu Akbar. You should also be careful to protect yourself and your religion and take hold of the truth and be pleased with it and guide others to it if you are asked. Fear Allah, be aware of Him, be just to yourself with the belief that the truth is one, and know that if the mujtahids, the scholars who exert the effort, give a correct ruling, then they have two rewards, and if they make an error, then they have one reward, and it has been authentically, as it has been authentically reported from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The 13th condition is giving mutual advice and being patient when enduring harm. The da'iyah should advise and enjoin his brothers and his friends, as well as the prominent people and the leaders in the community, about the truth with sincerity. You should deal patiently with any harm that may befall you from these prominent people or others in accordance with what is being conveyed in the following surah. And he cited Surah Al-Asr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. By Al-Asr, by time, verily man is in loss. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. Verily man is in loss except those who believe and do righteous good deeds and recommend one another to the truth and recommend one another to patience. Also in accordance with the noble messengers, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells his prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the end of the Meccan surah of Surah Al-Ahqaf, فَاصْبِرْ كَمَا صَبَرَ أُولُو الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ وَلَا تَسْتَعْجِلْ لَهُمْ. Therefore be patient, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as did the messengers of a strong will, أُولُو الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ, the messengers of the strong will, and be in no haste about them. This is Surah Al-Ahqaf, chapter 46, verse 35. Chapter 46, verse 35. And the 14th condition is, start with the most important thing, and then the next in importance. Start with the most important thing, and then the next in importance. Those who guide others are the doctors of society. He said, rahimahullah, those who guide others are the doctors of society. Those who guide others are the doctors of the society. The doctor is interested in finding out the illness. Then he works on their treatment by beginning with the most important of them. This was the method of the most sincere of doctors of the society, the most knowledgeable of Allah, and the most upright in fulfilling the rights of Allah and the rights of His servants. He is the leader of the children of Adam, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the messenger of Allah. Thus we see that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent by Allah, he began by forbidding the greatest illness, and that is shirk, associating partners with Allah. From the time that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent by Allah, and for the next 10 years, he never ceased to warn the people to stay away from shirk and call them to tawheed. After this, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then ordered them to pray and to abide by the remaining laws. Similarly, the callers to Allah after him must follow the same path and methodology employed by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, beginning their da'wah with the most important issue, and that is tawheed. However, if the da'iyah is giving the da'wah to a society of Muslims, then it is permissible for him to begin by giving da'wah concerning other obligations alongside this most important issue of tawheed. And this is really very important. I will repeat. If the da'iyah is giving da'wah to a society of Muslims, then it's permissible for him to begin by giving da'wah concerning other obligations alongside this most important issue of tawheed. Rather, he must do this according to his ability. So, what we can deduce from the saying of the Shaykh rahimahullah here, that in no way, therefore, the importance of tawheed can be neglected or put aside. To the contrary, it continues to be reminded of. Because of the aim of the da'wah, the Shaykh rahimahullah continued, because its aim is to reform the Muslim society and to exert one's effort to purify the aqeedah, the beliefs of the people, from the evil of shirk and its channels, and to purify their characteristics from that which weakens their iman, their faith, and therefore harms the society. If in some cases the da'iyah does not find it easy to begin with this most important issue of tawheed, then there is no harm in beginning with other issues. Nor is there any harm if he occupies himself solely with the most important issue of tawheed and pays very little attention to anything else, if he sees the benefit in that and fears that if he were to engage himself with more than that, then he would be unsuccessful in everything. This is the methodology that the prominent reformers and doctors employ. They are concerned with the paths of reform and adopt the one most beneficial and closest to the desired result. Whoever reflects on and looks attentively into the principles of Sharia, the life of the Prophet ﷺ, the lives of the rightly guided successors, and also the righteous imams, will understand what I have been saying. The Shaykh rahimahullah is saying, and know how to set about the curing of the people from their illnesses and guiding them to the place of safety. Whoever purifies his intentions, exerts his effort to search for the truth, asks his Lord the most beneficial to guide him to the best path and to enable him to give da'wah, consults the people of knowledge and experience in matters in which he doesn't understand because they are unclear to him, if he does all this, then he will succeed with satisfaction and happiness and will be guided to the truth. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. As for those who strive hard in us, in our cause, we will surely guide them to our path. And verily Allah is with the muhsineen, meaning the good doers. This is chapter 29, Surah Al-Ankabut. Chapter 29, verse 69. The final one, the final condition, certainty in matters. Certainty in matters. One should verify matters concerning the religion and give thorough consideration when judging them. This should only be done after studying them from all angles, asserting their meaning and having knowledge of their meaning based on the legal scales, which is the Book of Allah, the Most High, and that which is authentic from the Sunnah. So accept that which agrees with the legal scales and leave that which contradicts it. When the reader studies things according to the legal scales mentioned, he must distance himself from being excessive or deficient in what is required from him. He must also keep away from any type of partisanship, hizbiyya, and anything related to tribalism and his own whims and desires. The end of these conditions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala and forgive him. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate his status amongst the believers and make his teachings a benefit for this ummah and a guidance for those who insulted the Shaykh in one way or another. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive them and guide them to the truth. Wallahu ta'ala a'la wa a'lam, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, wa barakallahu fikum wa jazakumullahu khairan.